أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويل للمطففين الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون ألا يظن أولئك أنهم مبعوثون ليوم عظيم يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين. كلا إن كتاب الفجار لفي سجين وما أدراك ما سجين كتاب مرقوم. ويل يومئذ للمكذبين الذين يكذبون بيوم الدين وما يكذب به إلا كل معتد أثيم إذا تتلى عليه آياتنا قال أساطير الأولين. كلا بل ران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون. كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون ثم إنهم لصالوا الجحيم ثم يقال هذا الذي كنتم به تكذبون. كلا إن كتاب الأبرار لفي عليين وما أدراك ما عليون كتاب مرقوم يشهده المقربون. إن الأبرار لفي نعيم على الأرائك ينظرون تعرف في وجوههم نظرة النعيم يسقون من رحيق مختوم ختامه مسك وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون. ومزاجه من تسنيم عينا يشرب بها المقربون. إن الذين أجرموا كانوا من الذين آمنوا يضحكون وإذا مروا بهم يتغامزون وإذا انقلبوا إلى أهلهم انقلبوا فكهين وإذا رأوهم قالوا إن هؤلاء لضالون وما أرسلوا عليهم حافظين. فاليوم الذين آمنوا من الكفار يضحكون على الأرائك ينظرون هل ثوب الكفار ما كانوا يفعلون. The surah that we're going to be discussing today is Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Mutaffifin refers to those people who commit fraud while doing trade. For any person who is committing any type of fraud, cheating, this is what mutaffifin means. And this basically highlights a very important factor in Islam, which a lot of people are either unaware of or turn a blind eye to. And that is that Islam is not something that is limited to what we do in the masjid, or what we do at a specific time of the day, 5 times a day, or what we do at a specific place in the world, in Makkah al-Mukarramah, Hajj, or at a specific time of the year like Ramadan. Islam and our religion is something that is to be practiced throughout our life, from the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to sleep. And unfortunately, in business matters, we find a lot of people who are so-called attendees of the masjid and who attend the masjid regularly. They're people who may pray the 5 times prayer regularly, but when it comes to business transactions and financial dealings, what happens? Everything goes out of the window, and they will be the first people to cheat others out of their hard-earned money. So the beginning of this surah talks about those mutaffifin, those people who cheat others, and what will be their outcome in the hereafter. And basically the rest of the surah discusses issues related to the hereafter. Now this is a Makki surah, and as we've been mentioning before, the general trend of the Makki surahs is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about His greatness, talks about life after death, talks about Jannah, talks about Jahannam, and the purpose behind that was to make sure that those people who had instilled within themselves the idolatry and the belief that there is no hereafter, to remove that false belief from them and to put into them the belief of Tawheed and to have an iman and faith in the hereafter. So the rest of the surah, after initially talking about the mutaffifin, goes into describing firstly those people that are in the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and secondly it then talks about those people who are in the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, and they will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally it discusses those kuffar and those disbelievers that used to make fun of the believers and what will be their outcome in the hereafter. So without much further ado, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he starts the beginning of the surah and says, وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Destruction is for the mutaffifin. Destruction is for the people who make tatfif, who cheat. Okay? And basically the very strong words. Wail. Wail means destruction, and it is basically something which can be translated as woe unto those people who are mutaffifin. Who are those mutaffifin? الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. When they measure against the people, meaning when they are purchasing something for themselves, they make istifa, meaning they want their full measure. They want exactly what they're paying for, or even more. Okay, when they are purchasing for themselves and when they're buying, then they want everything completely and they do not want to lose anything. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. But when it comes to measuring for other people, when they're selling something to somebody, then, or measuring something for somebody, then they make khusran, meaning they make sure that they cheat the people out of what is their fair share and what they're paying for. So when it comes to themselves, they want everything completely, but when it comes to weighing and measuring for other people, they cheat them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a very important question. And this question is something that if we keep that in mind, really we cannot slip up and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any time of our life. The question is, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُثُونَ. Do they not realize that they will be one day resurrected? They will be resurrected and they will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. They'll be resurrected for this great day, for the day of judgment, for the day of recompense. يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. What is that day? يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. On the day when people will be standing in front of the Lord of the worlds. So a question should always come up in our minds. Whenever we feel like doing something wrong, a question should be in my mind that, can I answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this deed that I'm about to do? I have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and account for this deed. Can I account for it? Do I have an excuse for it? If I cannot account for it, if I do not have an excuse for it, then why should I commit that deed? And particularly when it comes to things which are related to huququl ibad, which are related to things that are related to people, loans that we take, or business transactions that we have. This is something that is not forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though we make tawbah, unless we take forgiveness from that person. It is mentioned in a hadith that people will be coming on the day of judgment. The Prophet ﷺ said in that hadith, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ. Do you know what a muflis is? And the translation of muflis is a person who's penniless, he doesn't have any money. So this is the response that the Sahaba gave to the Prophet ﷺ, that this is the person who is penniless. So the Prophet ﷺ said, no, the real muflis is the one who will come on the day of judgment with mountains and mountains of good deeds, mountains and mountains of a'mal, but he will have slandered somebody here, and he will have cursed somebody here, and he would have taken a loan from somebody here and not returned that money back to him, or he has stolen from somebody else, or cheated somebody else. So this person, his deeds will be distributed amongst his creditors on the Day of Judgment. And then ultimately what's going to happen, all of those mountains of good deeds, they will be completed and finished, and he will be left with nothing. And then what will happen? The creditors are still waiting, so their misdeeds, their sayyi'at, they will be taken and they will be put on his head. So he came with mountains of good deeds, and he will end up with mountains of bad deeds. And we discussed last week the concept of tawbah, and in tawbah we mentioned that when we are making tawbah, we should be sincere and we should repent and we should have the intention never to do that sin again. But when that sin is related to haqqul abd, then in addition we have to seek forgiveness from that person also in this world. Otherwise this can happen to us, what we've just mentioned. So a person should be thinking, before he cheats other people, before he takes money from them, what he will answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. If a person thinks to himself, the hadith which are mentioned about the Day of Judgment, it's mentioned in a riwayat of Imam Ahmad. A sahabi says, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ أُذْنِيَتِ الشَّمْسُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ حَتَّى تَكُونَ قَدْرَ مِيلٍ أَوْ مِيلَيْنِ. On the Day of Judgment, the sun will be brought close to the people until it will be just 1 meal or 2 meals. The definition of meal is described in two ways. One definition of meal is the mile that we understand, or the mile that was common in that day and age, 1 mile. So if we imagine that the sun right now is millions and millions of miles away and is going to be just 1 mile above the head, then how difficult it will be for us on the Day of Judgment. The second understanding of the word meal is the, you know what surma is, al-kuhl, the powder that we put in the eye. It's common in India, Pakistan, and also it's found in the Middle East. In the Middle East, it's known as, of course, the word is al-kuhl, but the real sunnah is the use of something which is called ithmid, and in India and Pakistan generally it's a very black color, it's dark, but ithmid is kind of a reddish color, which is the actual sunnah. So the needle that is used to apply that to the eyes is called a meal. So just imagine how big that needle is, like 2 or 3 inches. So the sun will be, according to that definition, it will be just 1 meal above the head, so 2 or 3 inches above the head. And the hadith goes on to say that the sweat that will be coming out from their bodies, it will be according to their deeds. Some people will have the sweat up to their ankles, some to their shins, some to their knees, some to their chests. Some, according to the hadith, some people, they will be bridled with their own sweat, meaning it will be right up to their mouths, and even some people will be drowning in their own sweat according to the misdeeds that they used to do. So, I mean, just imagine that you have to stand in that kind of pressure for 50,000 years, you know, according to the ayah, that it could be any time up to 50,000 years, but a person who obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he tried his best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the Day of Judgment it will be just like praying 2 rak'at of Fajr Salat. The 2 rak'at sunnah that we pray, very light, we can do that in about 3 minutes, and that will be the case for those people who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who do we want to be with on the Day of Judgment? Do we want to be with those people or those people who are sweating on the Day of Judgment? We have to make that decision and act accordingly in this world. The surah goes on to say, "Kalla inna kitab al-fujjar lafi sijjin." Certainly, the book of the fujjar, the book of the disobedient people, it will be in the Sijin. So what does it mean here, Kitab here? Kitab, it can either mean something in book form, or it can mean that it is written for them, meaning they are destined to go into Sijin. Okay, so both interpretations have been taken by the scholars, that the names will be written in some type of a register or some type of a file which lists all the people that are going to be in Sijin. And I'll describe what Sijin is in a minute. But other scholars say that it doesn't have to be a literal writing, but what it means is that they're destined to go there, and it's written for them that they're going to go there. And this is kind of a phrase that is used to describe that. So the writing of the book of the Fujjar is going to be in Sijin. And Sijin, the literal translation, is from the word Sijin. Sijin means prison. And when used in the word this form, Sijin means a very, very tight place, a very compact place where a person is going to have to spend his time. And according to a hadith of Bara ibn Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that this Sijin will be seven below the seven earths. And this, according to many other hadith, the hellfire will be underneath the seven earths. And this is the place where all of the arwah and all of the souls of those people will be gathered until they are called back and put back into the bodies on the Day of Judgment. So this is what, these are the different interpretations of what Sijin means. Either a place which is very tight, where the people are going to be, or it's a place where their listing or an actual book is going to be kept about them, or that their arwah, their souls, will be gathered in that place until the Day of Judgment. And on the Day of Judgment, they'll be called back and put back into the bodies again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سِجِّينَ. What will make you understand what Sijin is? So this is kind of an exclamation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an exclamation of a kind of an astonishment and a surprise, and for us to realize that it is something even beyond our imagination, what this place called Sijin is about. What is it? Okay, Kitabun Marqum. And again, this Kitab comes back again, this word. And again, like I mentioned, either you can take it in a literal meaning of a book that in which the names of the Fujjar is written, or you can take it in a meaning of Kitabun Marqum, something that is destined for them and it's already been written that is going to happen. Okay, Kitabun Marqum, that they're going to go into this place called Sijin. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Destruction will be on that day for those people that deny that there's a hereafter. They deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They deny everything that was told to them in this world. So what else can there be for those people except destruction and punishment? الَّذِينَ يُكَذِّبُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Those that denied the day of recompense. Those that denied that there's going to be a day of judgment, those people are going to be destroyed and they're going to be punished. وَمَا يُكَذِّبُ بِهِ إِلَّا كُلُّ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. Who are the kinds of people that deny the existence of the hereafter and deny the existence of a day of recompense? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that only those people will deny it who are mu'tadi, who are pure transgressors, and athim, who are sinners. They are the kind of people that deny the existence of the hereafter. And what do those people do? إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. When our ayat are read to them, when our verses are recited to them, they say, these are the fairy tales of old. These are old time stories. We've been hearing these stories for a long time, and these are nothing but tales that have been invented. Asatir, meaning things that have been related or written in previous times. So they said that these are just fairy tales that have been invented. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, they're not fairy tales. But the reality is that you, O disbelievers, have committed so many sins and disbelief that your heart is not accepting the truth anymore. Your hearts are now sealed. خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a seal around your hearts because of the sins that you commit. It's mentioned in a hadith, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا أَخْطَأَ خَطِيئَةً نُكِتَ فِي قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَىٰ. When a person, he commits a sin, what happens? A black dot appears on his heart. فَإِنْ هُوَ نَزَعَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ وَتَابَ سُقِلَ قَلْبُهُ فَإِنْ عَادَ زِيدَ فِيهَا حَتَّى تَعْلُوا قَلْبُهُ فَهُوَ الرَّانُ الَّذِي قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. If the person, he gets out of that sin and he makes tawbah and repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that black dot, it disappears. But if he continues, then his heart will become darker and darker and it will be covered with the sin until it will be completely covered. And this is, according to the hadith, this is what this verse is talking about when it says kalla bal. Certainly the reality is that rana ala qulubihim, rust has gone onto their hearts because of the sins that they did. So this is the reality. When a person commits a sin the first time, he will feel very bad about it. He will feel ashamed and his heart will feel uncomfortable. All day there will be this feeling of discomfort within him. The second time he does that, then that feeling of discomfort will diminish a little bit more. Then the third time he does it, it will diminish even more, until there comes a time where he doesn't even realize that the sin he is committing is a sin. And this is what happens, that the heart becomes covered and it doesn't get affected by the sin anymore. So we have to make sure that we don't fall to that degree. If we commit a sin, we should make tawbah straight away and we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It seems to have turned off. So kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaktubun. Certainly the reality is not that these are all fairy tales, but your heart is not accepting them because of the rust that has gone into the hearts. Kalla innahum ma'a rabbihim yawma idhil lamahjubun. Certainly on the day of judgment, what is going to happen to them? They're going to be curtained away from their Lord. So what will happen is that there will come a time when everybody will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, the disbelievers and the wrongdoers, they'll be put to the side and a curtain will be put between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then only the people who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be able to see Allah in His real form. And all of these people who were disobedient, they will be deprived of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَالُ الْجَحِيمِ. And on top of that, they will also enter the hellfire. Then, ثُمَّ, and then, indeed, they will enter the hellfire. ثُمَّ يُقَالُ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّمُونَ. Then they'll be told, in a type of ridiculing tone, that this is what you used to deny. This hellfire that you've been entered into, that you are feeling right now, this is what you used to deny. Can you deny it now? This is the question. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to talk about the abrar, the people who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, certainly, indeed, the book of the abrar will be in the illiyin. So again, this same thing applies here. The kitab is written here, and does it mean a literal book or not? You know, some scholars say it is a literal book or a register or a file in which the names of the good people is written, or what it means is that it's written that they will be in the Iliyin, meaning it's destined for them that they will be in the Iliyin. And what is Iliyin? It is from the word ulu. Ulu means to rise up. And going back to that hadith that I mentioned earlier of Bara ibn Azib, radiallahu ta'ala, and who he said that the heaven is above the seven skies. The heaven Jannah is above the seven skies. And the actual definition of Iliyin is mentioned, that hadith which I mentioned is of Bara ibn Azib. Hiya as-sama'u as-sabi'a wa fiha arwah al-mu'mineen. It is the seventh sky, and in it are the arwah of the mu'mineen. The souls of the mu'mineen will be kept there until the day of judgment, and then after that they'll be put back into the bodies when people are made to come alive. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says that Iliyin actually means Jannah itself, paradise. And according to another riwayat from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that Iliyin means أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي السَّمَاءِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Those a'mal that they used to do, they will be in the skies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what Iliyin means. And Qatada says Iliyun سَاقُ الْعَرْشِ الْيُمْنَى. Iliyun refers to the leg of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is on the right hand side. And other scholars say that Iliyun is a place which is close to Sidratul Muntaha, and all of these different definitions have been mentioned by the Sahaba and the scholars. So, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِيُّونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, what will make you understand what Iliyin is? كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ. It is a book which is written, and again this same thing applies, a book which is written, a literal book in which those people are listed. Or does it mean that this thing is completely destined for them? It is something that will happen to them for sure. Both meanings have been taken by the scholars. يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. And the muqarrabeen, the people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be present in the Iliyin. Or their souls will be present, or they themselves will be made to be there. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Indeed, these abrar, they will go on to many, many blessings. Na'im, it is from the word ni'mah, blessings. They will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will be happy with all of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in, laid in store for them, and they will be in those blessings. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. They'll be lying down on the couches, relaxing, looking here and there. Ara'ik is the plural of arika, and it refers to a couch on which a person lies down and relaxes. Okay, so this is what they will be doing. They will be relaxing and enjoying themselves with no worry, nothing to think about, no death to worry about, no bills to pay. All of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming from all angles. Anything they want, they will get. From the fruits of paradise, to the birds of paradise, to palaces, and anything that a person can imagine. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. Anything that no eye has seen, no ear has heard about, and nobody can even imagine what a person is going to get in paradise. So they'll be on those couches, and they'll be looking around and enjoying themselves. تَعَرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَظْرَةً النَّعِيمِ. You will recognize in their faces the joy of these blessings. You will see happiness, and you will see this relaxation in their faces. يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ. And those people, they're going to be given, they're going to be fed a special wine of paradise. It's called Rahiq. Rahiq is a special wine of paradise which will be given to them. And this wine, it's makhtum. It means it has a seal on it. And what does seal mean? The next ayah says, khitamuhu misk. The seal of this wine, it is made out of musk. So the thing is that whenever you get anything of good quality in this world, you will find that on top of it, it has a kind of a seal, okay? Sealed, a seal of quality, okay? And in the old days, they used to have a seal made out of wax. But the seal of this wine will be made out of musk, okay? It will be, even the seal will be such high quality and good quality that it will be made out of musk, and even that seal will smell good. But usually if you have a seal, it's made out of wax, it doesn't smell like anything. Okay, nowadays you have like perfumed candles, but in those days they didn't used to have that. It was just wax and you couldn't smell anything from it. So the seal of this wine, it will be made out of musk. And another interpretation of khitamuhu misk means that when a person actually drinks that wine, what is going to happen, instead of that wine making him smell bad like alcohol does in this world, what is going to happen is his breath is going to smell like musk instead of smelling bad. So khitamuhu misk, the effect of it will be, the after effect of drinking the alcohol, drinking that wine, will be that he will smell of musk, and his breath is going to smell of musk, and it will smell pleasant, unlike a person who drinks in this world. وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Now isn't that something that we should be competing for? Allah says, this is something that the people who are competing with each other should actually compete over. What are we competing over now? أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ. We are competing over takathur, more money, a bigger house, better job, okay, more children. All of these things we are competing over. But the real tanafus should be in this thing that is going to be everlasting. The real competition should be in getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The real competition should be in earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. This wine that Allah is mentioning, it is just one of those blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us on the Day of Judgment. And this is the thing that we should be striving over and competing with each other over. Allah goes on to say, وَمِزَاجُهُ مِنْ تَسْنِيمٍ. This wine, it will have within it a mixture of tasneem. What is tasneem? Tasneem, according to one interpretation, it is another wine of Jannah. So you have rahiq, and within rahiq you have a mixed flavor of another wine which is called tasneem. So you have a mixture of flavors within one liquid that a person, one beverage that a person is consuming. But other scholars say that the next verse, it talks about what tasneem is. عَيْنَي يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. Tasneem is a spring from which the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be drinking. Okay, so the closest people, the muqarrabeen, they will drink from a non-watered down version of tasneem. This is a very special spring which is specifically for the people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but even the people who are in lower Jannah, they'll get a little bit of flavor of the tasneem in their wine that is given to them. But the people who are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will get the tasneem at its full potency. It will be at its full flavor. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to describe the criminals and those people who used to make fun of the mu'mineen, the people of iman in this world. What is going to become of them? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. Indeed, those people who are the criminals, they used to make fun of the people of iman. So we have this all the time, somebody who goes out dressed in the sunnah, or he has a beard, oh look, there's Osama bin Laden going by. Or a woman, she's dressed in the niqab, look, there's a ninja. You know, making jokes of that nature, it's very discouraging for a person who is trying to observe the deen to the best of their ability and trying to do the best that they can. It's very, very discouraging for them. But once they understand what is going to become of these people that are making fun of them, you know, all of that is going to go out of the window. That discouragement is going to go out of the window. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they used to laugh at the people of iman, and they used to make fun of them. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. And when they used to pass by them, they used to wink at each other. You know, make signals at each other that look at him, look at her. Why has she got a rag around her head? So making signals. Ghams means to wink at each other and to make signals with the eyes to each other. So they will be making these signs to each other.
وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ قَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ.
And when they went back to their families, they'll be very, very happy that, oh, today we had a lot of fun by ridiculing the Muslims. We had a great time. They're going to go back to their families and be happy about what they've done. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّهَا أُولَٰئِ لَضَالُونَ. And when they see them, they say that these people are truly misguided. Meaning, when they see the believers, they say that these people are misguided. They're on the wrong path. There is no hereafter. There's only one life. Okay? You only live once, so enjoy yourself. What are you doing? Why are you wasting your life in the pursuit of something that you're not sure that's going to happen? So basically saying to the believers that they're misguided, when in fact they themselves are the ones who are away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are misguided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ. They have not been sent as protectors over them, as guardians over them, as security guards over them, to see what they are doing and what they're not doing. It's not their business. Okay, if they are doing what they're doing, if they're trying their best to lead their life, to be good people and to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody should have any concern for it and nobody should complain about it. It's their life, they're not complaining about you. Why are you complaining for them? وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلِيمْ حَافِظِينَ. And they have not been sent as guardians over them. So what will happen to these people? When the people are in paradise and they're enjoying themselves, they're going to think back what these people used to do to them. Allah says, فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يُلْحَكُونَ. Today, the people who have iman, they are laughing at the people who did kufr. Okay, not laughing out of ridicule, but it's basically a kind of irony that the same people that used to make fun of us, now that they're feeling the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. They'll be on their couches looking and noticing everything around them and relaxing. And they'll be asking, هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Have the kuffar, have the disbelievers been given the thawab, the reward for what they used to do? So again, it's a kind of a ridiculing tone here, that this is your thawab, the punishment that you're getting. This is the recompense for those times where you used to make fun of the believers and you used to beckon to each other and wink at each other and used to have them as a laughing stock. Today you have been given the thawab for all of those misdeeds that you used to do. So really, in these verses, there is a kind of encouragement for those people who sometimes get discouraged by, for example, keeping a beard, or the sisters wearing the hijab, or a person who wants to dress, you know, in accordance with the sunnah, and he wants to maybe go to the marketplace. A person should not feel ashamed of that, and a person should think along the lines of what these verses are trying to say, that this ridiculing is a temporary thing. The real thing that we need to strive for is the life of the hereafter. The Prophet ﷺ was ridiculed much more than us. He was persecuted much more than us. This, what we go through, is nothing compared to what the Prophet ﷺ went through. Have we ever been stoned to a degree that our shoes become colored with our own blood? It's never happened to us, and it's very unlikely to happen to us. But it happened to the Prophet ﷺ, for what he believed in, for what he stood up for, and for what he understood to be his mission. We're never going to go through that. So if the Prophet ﷺ, he bore what he did with such happiness and with such pleasure, understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, then we should not feel uncomfortable at any kind of ridiculing or any kind of joking that we have to endure. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. And inshallah, these lectures are uploaded actually to a website, imamziya.wordpress.com. imamziya.wordpress.com. A lot of people are benefiting from those lectures, and also it's been broadcast live. sunnahfollowers.net is the website where if the sisters are not coming or if you cannot make it, you can tune in from home. It's very easy to go. There's a link on the first page. Just click on it and you'll go straight to the lecture. A lot of people are tuning in and benefiting from these lectures that are taking place on a daily basis. And if you miss it, you can always go back and download it. This website is being visited from people worldwide and they're benefiting from it. So we should also try to benefit from that, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.